You talk about joy. There's joy when you come to church and you hear the truth, regardless of what it does to you. There's very few places in this world that even attempt to tell you the truth. But always, as it has been, God tells us the truth and He proves it. And He honors it. And He backs it up with His blessing and His goodness and with the exercise of His discipline and wrath. We are in a place now to where we can hear the truth. And outside these doors, outside the context of this small room here, and this small gathering of people, we will not hear the truth. We want our politicians to tell us the truth. Well, they won't because they can't. They go astray from the womb speaking lies. And that's the lot of all of us until God comes and brings us to a halt. A startling stop in the process of our lives. And makes us brand new to the glory of His own name and the good of our never dying soul. Psalm 91. What a psalm. It's just like the other 149 of them. They're all good. In fact, they can't be anything but. Now, when we talk about things like we did this morning, we can be somewhat afraid of what's going to happen. But fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're going to know tribulation. We're going to know persecution. We're going to know slander. We're going to know every evil in this world that can come against us. We're going to know it. Now, and since that's the case, just think how well it's gone. That's right. The whole thing. I mean, this world became evil to the core. When our father and mother ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and overtly denied God and accepted the counsel of the evil one. And I don't know what they knew. It doesn't tell us what they knew. Except that God says you can eat of all the trees in the garden, including the tree of life, but of this one tree you cannot eat. Because when you do, dying in the process, you shall surely die. And they died that day. He said, no, they didn't die. Yes, they did. Just as cold dead as that table there. They died. And the great horror of it all, the great tragedy of all, is that they cast their posterity into the pit of hell when they did it. But that's not the end of the story, is it? I mean, from there on, it is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, that's true. And if you're going to sing a song, it better be because of what Christ has done for you, because nothing else counts. Not to good. It all counts against you. But it doesn't count for you. And these evils are nothing new. There's nothing new where? Under the sun. Nothing. All is vanity and vanity and grasping for the wind that pertains to this world. But wisdom is in Jesus. Redemption is in Jesus. Sanctification is in Jesus. And what else? Righteousness is in Jesus. And this psalm is a wonderful example of that very thing. We're talking about God's power and God's provision in the protection of his people here in this psalm. It tells us that he gives it. It tells us where to get it. And it tells us what it looks like when we're in the midst of it. Now, do you want to be protected? If you don't, then you don't know the truth. I have a man that I've been pretty close to over the last 10, 12 years. See him once a week, at least. I've been working with his horses all that time. And those horses are just fine. But he has me come back. But he is just as lost as he can be. Just as liberal as he can be. And he is committed to these things from the get-go until there is no more to go. And right now, he's probably on his deathbed. Hadn't eaten in 5-6 days. And he had blood cancer, got over that. At least it's been 4 or 5 years since he had any treatment for it. And now he's got pneumonia, and he does not want to eat. He wants to curl up and die. And the day he does, he's going right into hell. Now that's the kind of trouble that God takes care of us. Yeah, and he's a rich man. The only person I know that owns horses that ain't rich is me. But anyway, listen to this psalm. What a wonderful psalm. This is to the children of God. The psalmist says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All the things we've discussed this morning. Why is it that we have life and those other folks don't? Why is it that we can say this morning, at least, this morning, we believe God from the beginning to the end of all that he's told us about himself and about what he expects from us and what he's provided for us? Why is it we believe that and we can see evidence that even in those who profess they do, they really don't? And does that make you feel good about yourself? Well, you know, God does that for me because he knows I'm special. The day that gets into you, you don't have to worry about where you're going to be in eternity. No, God has loved us with an everlasting love. But not because of who we are. But because of who he is and who Christ is and who the Holy Spirit is. So it says here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. What is that? What's the secret place? Well, in cross-referencing several verses, and as we continue through the psalm, we're going to find out that the secret place is God himself. And who knows God? Well, what did Jesus say? That they might know thee. Only true God. We don't know God because he's obligated to us. We don't know God because he can't do without us. We don't know God because we're smarter than most. He hadn't called many wise, has he? He's called the foolish, hadn't he? To confound the wise. Now, it's not the foolishness of this world, but It's God's foolishness. People look at what God does and say, ah, nah, he didn't do that. He didn't call that person. Why? God would never use that person. Look at me. I'm standing on the street corner. The trumpet blows before I pray. And I've got all this flowing robe on and the epaulets in between my eyes and all this kind of stuff. That's the kind of person God likes. No. What we have from God has been given. What do you have that you have not received? And God is the secret place. He is the one in which we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. What's a refuge? Place of safety. And my fortress. What's that? Place of defense. He is my refuge. He is my defense. My God, in him will I trust. That's a bold statement. You know that? That is a bold statement. Who do you trust in? That means you're going to believe him. You're going to obey him. You're going to love him. And when you sin against him, you're going to confess that sin. And you're going to live on his terms in this world and in the world to come. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee. Okay, we got all kinds of things out here. Our dear brother in Arizona has pointed out some things to us this morning that may have been a little bit new to us. I didn't know any of that stuff was going on. But you know what? Am I the worst off for it? Why? Because he has delivered me from the snare of the fowler. Sometimes bad news comes along so you'll understand the good news. Man, this sounds terrible. Look at the churches falling apart. Well, we're not falling apart. What's the big difference? The big difference is God. The only difference. The holy difference. So he's going to deliver us from the snare of the fowler. That's a trap for a bird. People used to trap birds. Now we just leave them in our backyard and feed them. And from the noisome pestilence. What does noisome mean? That's when I'm happy for a concordance and a lexicon. And notes in the corner of my Bible. Noisome, according to what I've got here, is something that is hurtful and deadly. And it's a pestilence. This is not an injury here. This can be a disease. That's what a pestilence is. It's a disease. He delivers us from those things. And really, unbelief is the worst disease you can have. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And these are things that we've known all through the history of man. Guess what? We got a little virus going on, right? Yeah. Scaring everybody to death. Yeah. That's pestilence. The coronavirus. Yeah. I guess that corona gets its lime too, doesn't it? Yeah. He shall cover thee, verse 4, with his feathers. Cover you. No exposure to these things other than what he brings to our good and our edification. To show us that just God's for you. He's not against you. He intends to save you. Not let you be destroyed and consumed by the things of this world. So what about these things? So what? Now we do have responsibilities as people who live on this earth. And it would be foolish for us to do anything that would destroy ourselves. You know, when he says, you shall not kill, he meant not only to somebody else, but also yourself. And we can kill ourselves many ways. But God has protected us against those things. Why do we have the perspective that we have compared to people in the world? The world wishes you good luck. I say, well, the only thing I wish is you hadn't said that. You just blasphemed God. I didn't. Yes, you did. God works all things to His own glory. And again, to the good of His people. He says here again, He's going to cover us with His feathers. Under His wings thou shalt trust. And let me say this to you, if His wings aren't over you, you couldn't trust Him if you wanted to. It's under His wings that we trust. It's not out from under those wings. It's under His care. It's under His provision. It's under His authority that we trust. Thus saith the Lord. And we don't want to listen to anybody that comes up to us when we know what the Bible says and they ask us, has God really said? And that's why we need to search the Scriptures daily to see that these things are so. And I'm telling you, honestly, we think about the world, and we're more like the world than we even understand. And when it comes to us, we ought to cry out to God, oh Lord, deliver me from the body of this death. I don't trust anybody any further than I can pick them up and throw them. But by the grace of God, I trust Him with whatever He says. Now, I may not understand what He means. That's why we search the Scriptures daily. I may not understand what God means.
But we don't question.
No. And it's not ours maybe to understand it. But we need to know, thus saith the Lord. And I got a choice here, brother. I can believe the world, or I can believe God. But as a child of God by my nature, guess who I'm going to believe? One who is partaker of the divine nature. Guess who I'm going to believe? It ain't you. Who are you? Get behind me, Satan. Lord, you're not going to die. If He hadn't, we'd all be on our way to a devil's hell right now. And nothing we could do. God comes. And He enables us to repent of our sins. That's a gift. That's doing something, isn't it? And then to put our faith in Him and Him alone by the grace He gives us. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. What? It's a gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which He has before ordained that we should walk in them. That's all of God. His truth, He says in verse 4. We're going to trust it, and His truth shall be a shield. It'll cover you totally. The big shield. The buckler, it'll also be something you could wield in battle itself. When the fiery darts of the evil one are coming upon you, you can take that faith and you can squelch that fiery dart. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. You know, the night has terror in it. That's one of the things that's telling us. There is terror in the night. Well, it's true. But there's other things too. You can be in your own bed and be scared to death. Doors all locked. Windows latched up. Shotgun under the bed. And just be scared to death. But not the child of God. Now, we're not stupid. We're not stupid. Yeah, I lock them. I lock my truck up too. I don't know why. There's nothing in it that anybody really want.
Amen.
But I lock it up. Yeah. But that terror by night, it's a real thing. He takes care of you. Nor for the arrow that fireth by day. You got trouble at night, you got trouble at day. Ain't nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. It is amazing. And yet, do we worry about these things? Not most of the time, we don't. Why? Well, it may be, but because God's taking care of us. That's all why. The reason we're bold is because God's taking care of us. We know whom we have believed, right? And we are convinced, right, that He will keep that which we've committed against Him until that day. Committed to Him against that day. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. That pestilence is something. Pestilence is everywhere. You got it in China, and you got it in Japan, you got it at the Air Force Base in San Antonio. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Well, if you do that, you're going to get sick. Well, if it's something wrong, I hope you get sick. Maybe you'll learn a lesson. But if it's just daily life, you better just go and do what you're told. That's another thing about being told what to do. You don't have to sit around and figure it out. I love it. I told somebody I went to work for him one time. I said, listen, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to be telling you how you ought to do something. I said, because I don't care as long as we're doing what works. And I'd rather you be thinking about it and get it all planned out than just say, okay, go over here and there's a shovel and we need a ditch from here to here. I can handle that work. I don't want to have to draw plans. I don't want to have to add up numbers. But if you got something that needs to be done, just tell me when, where, and how, and I'll see what I can do about it. I love to work that way. I was helping a teacher the other day, and she said, can you file these papers for me? I said, well, how do you want to file? I said, okay, I'll do that. And so and she said, you're done already. All I had to do is know what you wanted done. 99% of the problem is trying to figure out how to get things done. Well, I'll let you have that problem, then I'll do them. But there are people who just love to think and love to plan, but they hate to do. They can draw blueprints all day long, but they ain't hit a nail yet. And that's okay. You draw the blueprints, I'll bang on the nail. Pestilence walketh in darkness. Verse 6, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I mean, it's always around, day and night. What does it say here? Terror and arrows and pestilence twice, and darkness and waste. Wasteth at noonday. One of the worst things to do is to waste something. You go behind these markets and see how much good stuff they have to throw away.
Because
the government. That's right. Well, no, they won't let them give it away, but they make them throw it away. They won't let them give it away, but they make them throw it away. Well, that's what life's all about, is just waste. And then look at 7. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 by thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, what does that mean? You're going to go out and fight a battle and kill 1,000, and then turn around and kill 10,000 more? No, it means you're going to see all this stuff around you, but it ain't going to be happening to you. That's what it means. You don't have to draw a sword or pull back the string of a bow. Because the world is bound by the principle of death. And people are going to die, and they're going to die, and they're going to die, and praise God, one of these days we're going to die. No. No. Why aren't we one of the thousand that's fallen by somebody else's left side? Or one of the 10,000 that's fallen by somebody else's right side? Because God is our life. He is our life. What's happening to this world does not happen to God's people. You say, well, we have affliction, we have sickness, we have trouble, we have worries. Well, you may have them in your mind, but God is really the one that has them for you, and they're all assigned to the task and to the projected goal of doing you good. Every one of them. And besides all that, when you look at your life, what would you change? I get that.
We go over nothing.
Well, that's right.
We grow in grace and knowledge.
But you know, really, I let's go back all the way to the day you're born. What would you change?
All of God.
I see it. All things are of God. And so what are you going to change? Nothing. I don't want to be changed. I want to be new.
Well, if I had to do all over
again. Yeah, that's right. And I've even felt that thought more than I can tell you.
Yeah.
I've thought that myself. But honestly, and we pray for things, oh God, just don't let it get hot and dry and the crops die. Oh God, please. And then behold, it gets hot and it gets dry and the crops die. Well, God just doesn't hear prayer. It ain't God's fault. It's that, you know, prayer is not asking God for the things we want. Prayer is asking God for the things He's promised to give us. And we just read about 9 good verses of promises right here. And none of them include a trip to Disney World. Not one of them. Now, don't get me wrong. This life is to be enjoyed, but it's to be enjoyed by the people of God in the grace of God. In that only. Let me quickly get through here. I think you get the gist out of this. Verse 8, only thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now that is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, we've lived long enough to see many, many wicked people come and go. Yeah, just like it is. And, you know, I like to see in the reward of the wicked. And then I also like the Holy Spirit coming and saying, you know what? If it wasn't for God's grace, these things are about going to be, you're going to be right in the middle of these things too. You're going to have the reward of the wicked. And we say, Lord, forgive me. Take care of me. And He has for 7 verses, now 8. How about 9? Because thou hast made the Lord. Why is it that the wicked are rewarded death and eternal damnation, but we have life and eternal life at that? Well, He says here, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now, I don't know who the my is there. We got besides us, we got somebody else involved here. I wonder who that is, that my. That's Jesus, isn't it? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. We live in God. Go back up there to verse 1 again. Where's the secret place?
Yeah.
We're dwelling in the secret place, right?
Yeah.
Verse 9 is a good commentary on what he means there in verse 1. And then he says in verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee. Well, that's good news, but I'm telling you, I might could in the flesh, I could probably debate that. There shall no evil befall thee. That is evil that condemns you.
Real Dale, that's the reason that most people think there's so much error.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not going to argue this. You know, the evil's there. And evil comes to us. And also, God produces it. All things are what? That's right. And then he creates what? Evil. And good. He kills and makes alive. He creates life and darkness. I mean, this state of darkness in which people are dwelling right now, who have rejected God and will have nothing to do with Him because they can't, is a darkness that God created. Now, if that's not true, what security do you and I have? I mean, maybe I ought to be wishing you good luck if that's not true. But it is true. All things are of God. And even Mary in the Magnificat praises God for this very thing. Evil. There's evil against God, and there's evil from God. And those are quite two different things. And then he says in verse 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Psalm 34 says something about those angels keeping us too. They shall encamp around about you. You know, we don't say, yeah. That's right. And they ministered to the Lord. And then we got the angels coming to Abraham. All the way through Scripture. Got them coming. Gideon got a visit from an angel one day. Joshua got a visit from an angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord of hosts. I wonder who that was. And we go on here. And I tell you, I don't know much about angels. Because there's not a lot that said in the Bible about them. Somebody said that when Jesus was born, they sang in the heavens. No, they didn't. They didn't sing. They said, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." And I don't know where we get them singing angels. Then we got the seraphim and the, what else?
Cherubim.
Then verse 12. "They," the angels, "shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." There was one guy that you'd think would never quote Scripture. Well, yeah, I guess he did. He tries to mess it up. But he used this one time. You know who he was? Yeah. That was the devil himself, wasn't it? Go ahead and jump off here. "For it is written, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said, "You need to get away from me, Satan. For it says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." What great things. And he could have called, what, 10 legions of angels?
12,
was it? The song says he could have called 10,000 angels. Yeah. Sometimes I get my songs and my scriptures mixed up. What a good thing. Verse 13, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder." You shall tread upon the lion and the adder? Well, next time you're at the Houston Zoo, won't you jump in there with old Daddy Lion and see what happens? Or take one of these adders like the queen of Egypt did and stick it in your bosom. See what happens to you. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot." If you can do that, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you can do that, surely, and get away with it, God must be in it, right? Now, these are how do you want, how can I say it? These are terms that seem to talk about things, or that do talk about things that are difficult to understand. But the point is, in all things, God is with us. Now, I can tell you this, God will protect you from every car that will come down that road out there. But if you want to go out there and prove the point, that might be the last thing you do. Yeah. And then 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. This is God speaking about the man who believes these things in verses 1 through 13. Because to believe these things is this, to set your love upon God. Therefore will I deliver him, he says in verse 14. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. But also, now, here's another good reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus said, the things I've done, you shall do also, and greater things than these shall you do. But who is the one who's really been set up on high?
The Lord himself.
And then all those that God has given to him before the foundation of the world. Yeah, that's right. Now here we're talking about the consummation of God's glory and his joy bestowed upon his people who believe him and obey him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. God delivers us from this world and all of its evil and danger and threatenings, all of it. And I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Well, who are those who know God's name? Those who put, whom God has put upon them his name. That's right. It's amazing. This is a wonderful psalm. I struggled with this week when I was reading it, though. I thought, where's that secret place? I sure glad when I got down to verse 9. And then finally, well, no, there's two more verses. He shall call upon me. Now, it's not that he may call upon me if he wants to. He shall. This is an indicative right here. God's people call upon him. You say, well, I just don't pray. I just have a hard time praying. Well, then just shut your mouth and groan. And if you're not willing to do whatever it takes to call upon the name of the Lord, it's because you don't have what it takes to call upon the name of the Lord. And I will deliver him. I will be with him in trouble. Well, that means he's going to be with us all the time. Because that trouble we're talking about early, pestilence, Arabidae, and all those things he talks about here in verses 3 and following, that's the trouble. I will be with him in trouble. Hey, there's three men in there and we threw them in there. Now there's four. And one looks like he's the Son of God. I will deliver him and honor him. And it may be that he does it like he delivered Stephen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what a way to go. That's right. Jesus came and got him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And look at verse 16. With long life, length of days, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So we're going to have a long life. It's going to satisfy us. And in it, we're going to be shown the salvation of God. Moment by moment by moment. I will never leave you or forsake you. In the days of old age, you'll still bear fruit. That's the next song. In fact, it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. The fat part's what I like the best. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Now, if we'd have left off in our conversation a while ago and just cut it short, we might be sitting here thinking, where is God? Why are these things happening? Will we survive? But we don't have to be afraid of any of that. What God does with John MacArthur is between God and John MacArthur. And what God does with the V-O-M is between God and the V-O-M. But in the same token, what God does with us is between us and God. Are we the ones who call upon Him? Are we the ones who in trouble depend upon Him and honor Him? Now these things are not necessarily told us so that we can work on them. They're told us because they're true and they will be demonstrated by the people of God. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Well, God help us as we pray. You men lead us, please.